I've been grinding so long, been trying it for years. And I got nothing to show, just climbing this rope right here. And if there's a man upstairs, he kept bringing me rain. But I've been sending up prayers and something's changed. I think I finally found.
Clock hour.
My dreams are
of Willie and Tausch begins now. And before we get to our prize picks for the weekend as the Packers take on the Saints, Tausch, we were talking about Twitter in general earlier.
Yeah.
One of my favorite accounts that I followed was this Captain Andrew Luck, where he was like, someone created this parody account where he was like this soldier in, like, I don't know if it was the Civil War or what, but he would write letters because he kind of, you know, he had the neck beard going and he looked like a guy out of the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So last night on the pregame show, I'm seeing this on Twitter because I did not see the pregame show. On Thursday Night Football, Andrew Luck came dressed in like a North Army uniform from the Civil War, and they had him on the pregame show.
Huh.
And that account, which I assume was clearly done without his support at the time,
mm-hmm.
Pretty excited to see having an impact at Andrew Luck acknowledging its existence. So if you get a chance to see that, it is funny. It is funny.
Well, that was a fun account, and that's what you hope Twitter is about. You had a ton of fun with it. The Andrew Luck story is very intriguing, and I think it's fascinating that he was beaten down. But the part that's still, because I'm a big JT23 fan, as I know you are, and Jesse, and everybody that loves the University of Wisconsin is, but just remember this when everybody's getting after JT23. Andrew Luck retired the last preseason game. And the Indianapolis Colts and old third base Ursay, they didn't make him give a nickel back.
Third base Ursay.
From That's his so signing good. Bonus, where they have done that with other people. They let him keep about 30 or 40 million. JT23 is trying to get a fair value contract,
mm-hmm.
and they're refusing to do it. And old third base Ursay, no, he's this way. So that's, again, it's a fun account. Andrew Luck, good on him. He has every right to retire and do whatever he wants. But he retired right before the season started, and he got to keep all of his money. So that's why, again, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Time now for our prize picks of the weekend. God, this is the best music we play.
2 days in a row we've had it in for something. I love this. All right, the prize picks of the weekend are back, examining more or less projections for the game on Sunday. Let's start with Jordan Love. More or less, his prize picks projecting 211.5 passing yards. 211.5. Jason, you go first. More or less for the quarterback?
I'm going to go fewer. I think I think it's going to be
Wouldn't that be less?
It would be less. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm a stickler for words. I'm awesome about that.
I'm well aware of that.
Are you advocating that Prize Picks change to what it says from less to fewer on the app?
I'm not advocating for anything. They do a great job. I know you guys love playing it, so no, they do. They need to do it the way they feel is best. I do believe that I'm not saying they can't win the game by any stretch, because I don't think the Saints offense is going to be very good either, even though they're quarterbacked by the greatest quarterback in NFL history in Jesse Nelson's mind. But I think there's going to be some tough sledding offensively. I think this is going to be an adversity game for Jordan Love, and we're going to find out more about him, which is what we want to do every week when it comes mm-hmm. to him. So I think he's going to face some pretty challenging series. They can win with him throwing for fewer than 211.5 yards, but I think it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I need the only thing I need to know is Christian Watson playing, because if he is, I'm going more. If he's not, I'm going less. So I will make that premonition.
Oh, holding
Sunday
it in abeyance
at 10:30. I will take a look at that, but that's how much of a difference I think C. Watt makes.
Interesting.
And until I know that, I'm going to hold off on that one. But that will be my determining factor if I go more or less.
C. Watt.
Yeah.
Yep. Does anybody call him that besides you?
Yeah, just me.
Okay.
What do you call him, Christian?
It's catching on.
Yeah, it'll catch.
Watty.
Yeah, play.
C-Dub? I could see C-Dub.
C-Dub, you think you're watching like Gilmore Girls or something.
It's fair. Or ACC Next. Football. How about the other quarterback? More or less than 242.5 passing yards for the man that we always know could have been QB1 for the Green Bay Packers, Derek Carr. Tausch, you go first.
Yeah, Les. This needs to be a clamp game from Green Bay's defense
standpoint.
Clamp game? Yeah, they need to just clamp everything down and say enough. I've had enough. I don't need to hear about this anymore. Derek Carr is a nice average NFL quarterback. He is a tier three quarterback, and you don't let tier three quarterbacks come into your house and throw for 240 plus. You just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Less.
Yep, I'm on Team Tausch on this one. Fewer than 200 and whatever yards that is projected there.
Let's move over to A.J. Dillon. Tough week for A.J. Dillon. How about a bounce-back performance? This is a new category on Prize Picks for this football season. I've been excited. I won with it last week. I was pretty good at this one. More or less than 17.5 rushing yards in the first 5 rushing attempts.
What?
First 5 attempts, more or less 17.5 yards for A.J. Dillon.
So what happens if he only gets 4 rushes?
I guess it all depends on if he goes more or less than 17.5 rushing yards.
I love this one more. He's going to have a bounce back. And I know, New Orleans is going to look at it the same way and say, well, we want this young quarterback to beat us. We don't want their run game and Aaron Jones. But I think A.J. Dillon has heard it. I think he is sick of it. And I'm assuming he's not going to get shoestring tackled again. He's going to pick his feet up. And it's, 3.5 yards a carry? You bust 1 10-yard run, you're more than halfway home. Like it, going more.
17.5 rushing yards in his first 5 attempts. Wow, that's very specific.
That's how Prize Picks rolls.
I'm going to take more. He had a bunch of really good runs. I know avid readers of the State Journal know that of his 15 carries, 8 of them went for 5 yards or more. The problem is that he had some that lost yardage and some that got no yardage. And that's obviously not good, especially on 3rd and 1. So, I agree with Tausch. I think he's going to be a motivated fella. Next.
Last one, you can choose either of these if you wish. Chris Olave or Michael Thomas, wide receiver.
Tausch's guy! Should have been a Packer.
I love Olave.
Olave
should have been a Packer.
Yep. So no, you were traded for Michael Thomas.
It's the Packers and the should have been a Packers game this week. Olave, more or less than 65.5 receiving yards. Michael Thomas, more or less 55.5 receiving yards. Tausch, you like either of those?
Who's Jair going to cover?
Great question.
Tell me who Jair's covering.
And you'll take the other one.
And I'm going more on the other guy. Yep, because like I talked about A.J. Dillon, Jair didn't have a good game.
No, he
did not. Jair's a dog. And I would expect him to bounce back as well. And he will be clamp guy. If it's Michael Thomas or if it's Olave, whoever is going to be guarded by him will have less. And whomever, Razul or whatever other combination Joe Barry decides to go, I'm going more. So we need to figure that out before the game. So, Jason, do a little investigative journalism and get back to us.
Yeah, I'm gonna predict. I don't know this, but I'm going to predict it's Olave. Because I also think that Michael Thomas is a bigger dude. Rasul Douglas is a bigger dude, longer. Michael Thomas not as fast as he once was. Yeah. So that would be my guess, is if they're going to travel, it will be Jair Alexander following Chris Olave, who had a fantastic catch on Monday night against Carolina. That was pretty impressive. All right, that is Prize Picks. Tausch, explain to everybody how Prize Picks works.
Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Again, but entry, you're not going against Jesse. You could go off of what Jason and I just said. That's Prize Picks' player projections. You go more or less, not fewer, more or less on those, and it's super easy to play. You pick 2 to 6 players. I have been kind of honing in on 3. I'm going 3. I feel really good about a couple with this. I'm going to take a look at what Jordan Love's rushing stats are. I think he'll get out of the pocket. I think it's usually around 12 and a half. I like more for that. You can pick whatever you want, and if it's not the NFL, Prize Picks offers projections on any sport you want, including cricket. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Just download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Use that promo code WI for an instant match up to $100. You put $100 in, Prize Picks gives you another $100. Again, promo code WI, prizepicks.com to get started.
The great Rob Domofsky joins us next. It's ESPN from ESPN.com. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka produced in Austin, Texas, and naturally gluten-free. Tito's Handmade Vodka.
I should have known by the way you passed me by, there was something in your eyes and it wasn't right. I should have walked, but I never had the chance. Everything got out of hand and I let it slide. Now I only have myself to blame for all.
I'm not going to lie. I'm nervous. Jesse, did people more qualified than you organize this?
For sure, yes. The engineers were here extensively this week and remotely trying to help us get a new setup ready to go. Yeah.
So, and what you're telling me is that we have the technology for Rob Domofsky to join us via video, but not Tausch.
Yes. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay. No, do you see some irony there?
We didn't want to. I thought Rob would be a great person to test this situation out with.
Because he's a calm, cool, he's like Jordan Love. He handles setbacks very well. He never loses his temper. It'll be fine.
Yes, sure.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, here we go, because Rob Domofsky joins us from ESPN.com. Not only on the radio, but on video. And look, there he is. God, you're a good-looking guy. How you doing?
This is a little bit, Jason, like one of those movies that translates and your lips aren't moving with the words, though. There's some sort of delay.
Do you find that distracting?
A little bit, yeah.
Look away, I'm hideous, and my lips don't match the words.
But it's working. We got it.
And that's all. And all that matters is that it sounds good and it looks good, and we've got a great picture of Tausch that I saw a painting of the photo that we're using. You did an event with our buddy Justin McCoy from Cousin Subs recently, and they did like a painting of the picture we used for you. You look great in that.
Yeah, that's one of my best pictures, and he did paint it. I don't know how long it took him to paint it, but I think I may have come up with our idea for a Christmas present off of this, because this cat did a nice job up in, I want to say we were up in Shiocton.
You were.
Domofsky and Wilde, you guys' country up there in Black, is it Black Creek?
We're big up there.
Black Creek, yep. That's right next to Shiocton.
That's where I was.
Wait a minute. So are you saying that you're going to give me a painting of you for Christmas?
No, that is not. I'm going to give Domofsky, my favorite beat writer.
That's true. He is higher in the power rankings.
I want that on the Christmas card, Tausch.
To my favorite Packers beat writer, thanks for joining us once a week, Rob Domofsky from Tausch. All right. We were spending a lot of time in our preview talking about the Packers' run defense. I know you asked some questions of Joe Barry yesterday. I pointed out both in my story today and on the program that we have heard shredded and gashed from the head coach. And then he said yesterday that if him being publicly critical of them is going to motivate them, then they've got problems. He has been publicly critical, Rob. So what do you make of how Matt LaFleur feels about his defense, and how do you think this group led by Joe Barry is going to respond?
I don't think Matt LaFleur is one of those guys that sends messages to his own team in the media. I think Mike McCarthy did that. And Mike would say in his press conferences, look, I'm talking to the locker room when I'm talking to you guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know that necessarily Matt thinks that way. Maybe he's talking to his coaches, though. That part, I do wonder if it's a little different. He's talking to his coaches in that regard. Look, he's not firing Joe Barry during the season. Like, that's just, let's just get that out of the way right now. That is not happening. They're going to have to figure out how to make it work with this defense. The problem seems to be, from people I've talked to that kind of understand this, is that Joe Barry has a defensive system. And sometimes the things that maybe you need to do to stop what's happening don't necessarily fit in with this system, and that could be where we're running into problems. That's way beyond my X's and O's expertise, but they know what the problem is. They just can't solve the problem.
Well, that's kind of the deal, though. I mean, that's what a coach is.
You can take the reservation, you just can't hold the reservation.
Hey, Rob, so do you think, because there's obviously the different silos, the personnel, do you think Matt LaFleur and Joe Barry think they have the horses to do what they want to do? Because it's either scheme or it's players. There's not like a fourth different option. Which one do you think these guys think it is when they have a night like they did last Sunday in Atlanta?
That is the question, Tausch. I mean, certainly the personnel department thinks that they've given them all the talent that they need.
Nine first-round picks,
I don't know what Matt LaFleur, if he thinks he's got the right players. We don't know that. He's never going to say that he doesn't. Until after the fact, but you're right. It has to be one or the other, and I'm just not sure which one it is.
Which one do you think? You don't even have an opinion on which one you think it is?
I mean, I'm my gut says that it's coaching, but I mean, I don't want to sound like Justin Fields here and have to call the show back like 20 minutes later and clarify my answer. But
you need to be better in your segments.
Yes, I do. I have to take responsibility. I don't. It's got to be coaching, right? I mean, like, these aren't bad players. Not all of them. One other thing, Josh, real quick. There's probably no way to prove this unless somebody admits it, but I wonder if Jerry Gray knew exactly what was coming from the Packers defense and periodically during the game would tell Arthur Smith, you know, on the headset, this is what they're going to do. I don't think Jerry Gray's on the sideline. I think he's up in the box, but I could be wrong about that. I've been watching the tape on the sideline to try to figure out if he's down there, and I have not seen it, and I don't remember looking at it during the game. But maybe it was just that was a one-off because of that factor in this game, and maybe it won't be an issue the rest of the way.
So are you sensing, because last year, obviously after that first game and Justin Jefferson going all over the Green Bay Packers, Jair came out and made some comments – are the guys buying into what Joe Barry's changes have been? Do you feel like there is a complete buy-in from Kenny Clark and from all the defenders to what Joe Barry's doing, or do you not sense that?
It's hard to tell, honestly, one way or another right now. Yesterday, there was, like, I think one defensive starter was in the locker room when we were in there, it was Rudy Ford, who might be the nicest fella. Oh,
that's
Wildy's
guy.
I asked him every which way I could, basically that question, and you know he didn't. He said all the right things. He did not go Justin Fields, and it's really hard to tell. Like, I mean, hopefully we get to talk to Jair today because Jair usually speaks his mind, but I don't know, Tosh. It's 2 weeks in. Let's see what happens this week, next week, and then maybe we can make some broader judgments.
All right, Rob, last thing about the defense before we move on, and that's this. Tosh kind of alluded to it, but you and I were there when Jair's talking about traveling with the opposing number one, when Rasul Douglas was talking about playing more bump and run, press man coverage, when Kenny Clark was talking about getting upfield more. All those things don't fit what the system in the Vic Fangio vein is supposed to be. So is it possible? And I am not a Joe Barry apologist by any stretch of the imagination, but is it possible that they're just, A, ran into a really good running back in Bijan Robinson, and B, they're still trying to figure this out because they're not running the system that they ran a year ago, and Joe Barry during the offseason admitted we don't have 10 weeks to waste before we figure it out, yeah. But they're already 2 weeks in and they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know anywhere in anybody's system that would have Devondre Campbell covering Bijan Robinson split out.
I like that matchup. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. But look, it's a little bit, Jason, maybe like when Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur first started working together, where you had two sort of opposing viewpoints on certain things, and you had to try to figure out how to take the best parts of each of them. And this is what, year, is it three for Joe Barry?
Year three, correct. Yes.
One year of Mike Pettine with LaFleur, and then 3 years of Joe Barry. I mean, if it hasn't happened by now, when is it going to happen? And again, I'm not saying it's an indictment on Joe Barry. Joe Barry, by all accounts, seems to know what he's talking about. But there obviously seems to be a disconnect between what they want to do and what they're actually doing.
All right, Rob, let's go to the other side of the ball. And I don't want to spend a ton of time relitigating the David Bakhtiari turf discussion by any means.
Yeah.
I don't. No, I'm tired. I'm definitely tired. What are they going to do on the offensive line if David Bakhtiari, again, they play again on Thursday against a division opponent. Yeah. And as I said to Tosh earlier, we have no idea now if he's going to play or not. He doesn't practice for a week and he plays in Chicago. Doesn't practice for a week and he doesn't play in Atlanta. Who the hell knows if he's going to play? So
let's just get it out of the way. He's never going to practice. Whether he plays or not, he's never going to practice.
So what do you think the offense?
That sounds so absurd.
There's 17 game weeks. There's three practices a week. How many? I'm terrible at math. What's 17 times 3?
51.
Somebody. They have one extra practice leading up to week one. So he's going to be 0 for 52 in practice. Well, I guess they won't. The Thursday week, they won't have as many practices, so whatever. 52 up, 52 down, not practices.
Perfect score. So what is their line going to look like this week, with or without him?
You know, I asked Adam Senevich, the offensive coordinator, yesterday, you know, is it possible that the adjustment that you made on the fly, you know, in the game when Elgton Jenkins got hurt, is different than what you will do if you have a whole week. You know, obviously we know they just plugged Royce Newman in at left guard and went from there. And obviously Rashid Walker was the number one guy at left tackle. But it would not surprise me if they tried something a little different this week and left Rashid Walker at left tackle if Bakhtiari doesn't play. But instead of Royce Newman, would they take Zach Tom from right tackle and move him to Elgton Jenkins' left guard spot and played Yosh Nijman at right tackle? If that might be their best five as it stands right now, if you don't think Royce Newman is in your best five. Now, that's moving a lot of pieces to fill, you know, one or two spots. But Stenovich did say that, yes, that it is not always the same when you have a week to prepare for changes as opposed to when you have one play to prepare for it.
Tausch, what do you think of that idea?
No, I don't like that. Obviously, Zach Tom has proven to be really good at tackle. And if you're going to make that move, I think you move him to center where Josh Myers has struggled. That would be more in line with what I'm thinking. It seems to me that if they don't think Royce Newman can play, why not give Sean Ryan a chance? That would be more what I think is going to happen, or at least rotate guys and see, let them compete on the job training to see who's going to end up grabbing a hold of that spot. Yeah. That, to me, would be more what's in line. I can't imagine that much shuffling, depending on how long Elgton Jenkins is going to be out. I can't see that, but maybe I'll be wrong.
Yeah. That would be a lot of shuffle. That would be a lot of change to make. But, you know, and if they think that that's their best five, though, and they believe playing your best five is the way to go, I don't see how they do it any other way. But the easy way is just to start the game the way you finished it last week. That's the easy way and go from there.
Rob, what do you – I mean, how have you – you're breaking down film. You're talking to the coaches. How have you felt Josh Myers has been up to this point? Because Brian Bulaga breaks it down. He watches a ton of film, and he has not been overly impressed. Do you sense the coaches aren't either?
I mean, yeah, I sense that, Tausch, because they've been hesitant to you know, name him as a starter all the way along through the – I mean, he basically keeps having to win his job over and over and over again. And we saw it all summer that, you know – when they try to replace guys, even if they don't find the right guy, that tells you everything you need to know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's almost like they're still looking and still haven't found a better option. So this is the way they're going. I mean, we never saw this, you know, when Corey Linsley was the center. We never saw this, you know, at any other position where you were sure that the guy was the guy. It just seems like they're constantly trying to replace him, and they just haven't found the way to do it yet.
All right, Rob, before we let you go, I'm fascinated with this David Bakhtiari situation. What do you think really happened? Because what's being told to us, you guys in the media, it's your job to decipher and then understand.
Yeah.
Give me the Rob Domofsky. What happened from last Friday night till Wednesday when David Bakhtiari talked to you guys?
All right. This is probably
I know you have an opinion, Rob. I know you. Yeah. I feel like you – just shoot us straight. What do you think happened?
I think that part of David Bakhtiari's recovery from the knee injury is mental. And I don't mean that in a negative sort of way. There's a hurdle that you
for
have to
sure
get over
100%.
Physically and mentally. And I'm not sure he's ever gotten over the mental thing. And that, look, I'm not saying he doesn't have swelling in his knee, but my mother is someone who
this
can
is
stand
awesome.
Next to someone who has a non-communicable disease and thinks she has the disease. Okay? I love my mom, but if that makes any sense, the way it goes,
not
David
really.
Bakhtiari,
can't wait to send her this segment.
You will not. He might think that something's off with his knee, even if structurally it isn't. And if that's the way he feels, nobody can tell him differently. Like that's if that's the way you feel, and even if all the tests say it shouldn't feel that way, that's just the way you feel, and you can't tell someone that they shouldn't feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a mental connection to a physical injury or what, but I think that sometimes he feels that it isn't right and he can't play. And I think that's where it is. It just so happened that he was outspoken against turf, and you know, it happened to be that week. Now, if the next time we have a turf game, he doesn't play, and all signs would indicate that he was going to play, you know, then let's revisit it.
You were there for the entire conversation. He gave you a hug afterward by the laundry hamper, apologizing to you.
It wasn't really a hug.
He put his arm around you. He loves you. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But
love hate relationship.
I know you've said he was kind of a Richard once upon a time. But here's the tone of the whole thing. I was blown away after. Because I was with Jordan Love at the time. I was blown away by this idea that people thought it was a protest. against turf. You didn't shoot me straight from your perspective. Did you ever think he was protesting turf?
Not protesting, but just he doesn't feel comfortable playing.
Correct. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
again, isn't that kind of a protest, though?
He's scared. I don't want to say scared, because scared is a really strong word. But yeah. He's uncomfortable playing on turf. I think that very well could be part of it. So, yeah. All right. I didn't want to talk about it. And then I did anyway. What is that, a sea foam that you went with on the walls in your office there? What color is that?
You have to ask Jessica about that, but she's very much one that paints and repaints and then paints again. So the colors may change.
It's going to be different next week.
Could be. Yeah.
Rob, we love you, buddy. Thanks for making time for us. I'll see you at the stadium.
All right, we'll be seeing you.
That is the fantastic Rob Dabowski on video and audio, and it worked. Incredible. We'll talk about what Rob talked about with us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
In Acapulco, I'm just riding the wave. Baby, oh, you're just a little loco. Emotions like a yo-yo, but I love you that way.
Thanks again to Rob Dabowski. Always great to spend time with our friend. He's with us each week on Fridays, leading into Packers games. I guess next week it'll be reviewing what happened the day before as the Packers play on Thursday Night Football. All right, Tausch, I understand it's my responsibility to discuss things that matter, and David Bakhtiari certainly matters. I do sense that there is some fatigue. I also would say that if I can't advance the story, that becomes problematic, right? Because if we're not giving any more information, we're just rehashing. And I can't right now. I have no idea if he's going to play or not. And usually I think I'm pretty good at projecting things based on what guys do during the week. But to Rob's point, and you obviously came back from two ACLs and other injuries during your 11-year career, the word scared is problematic. I don't want to use it. Talking about people's thought processes and their mental approach is perilous because you don't know what's going on in their head. So in general, is it possible for a player to have, for lack of a better term, a mental block or something that upstairs is maybe not what's actually happening physically, but mentally they have something that they're struggling to get past it? Is that possible?
Well, it's not only is it possible, it happens to everybody. Now, whether or not you can overcome it, and that's why it's so important to get back out there and prove to yourself that you can do it. Injury, I've always said this, the physical part of it's the easy part. You have your plan. You go in, you do a bunch of stuff in a pool. You strengthen things. You get ice. That stuff is all just rinse, lather, repeat.
Sure.
The mental side of it, being able to get through it and then trust that what you're doing is going to get you back to where you were, that's a long mental road. And the mental is probably 10x more difficult than any of the physical stuff that you're dealing with. So it doesn't matter what injury you're coming back from. You have to reprove to yourself that you can do it. And for me, it was getting rolled up and, hey, your knee's not going to blow out every time that happens. If it's something to do with the surface or if it happens where you go back out there and play on the same place – you know, the Superdome, I blew my knee out. There's certain things that people will get caught up on. Fortunately for me, I didn't have to deal with a ton of that. It was just I fought through the can I get back and play. That was always the mental because you kept pushing to do it. Everybody has different things that they get fixated on. And for David, maybe that's the case. I don't know. Obviously, that is something that he feels strongly about. And every player has it. So you can do all of the training and everything else. The only way to get over it is to get back out there. And sometimes you can't. David has been able to get back out there, but it's been a real struggle mentally for him because he's dealt with this now 2-3 years. And eventually, when you have major injuries, what ends up getting you is you are so worn out rehabbing, mm-hmm. you can't do all the other stuff that makes you advance as a football player because you have to spend so much time both physically and mentally just to get back to a point where you were before. That can be super daunting for guys.
We need to get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Before we do that, I want to remind you that the Packers and Associated Bank have been a partnership that dates back to their very beginning in 1919 as a football team. And if you're a Packers fan, there's no better place to be as a bank than Associated Bank. Not only do you get a Packers debit MasterCard with your Packers checking, but more importantly, you get 10% off at the Packers Pro Shop, both online and in store. It's a great perk among a number of them, along with the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. So check out AssociatedBank.com/Packers. to find out more. The Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week after our trip to Steinhoffel's yesterday are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Tell her that I miss our little talks.
Soon it will be over and buried with our past.
We used to play outside when we were young.
It is time now for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. What a fun day yesterday, by the way. It was really great to be out there. And Chad and John and Andrew Steinhoffel came by. They're really excited about their expansion into Illinois, but they're still obviously a 100% employee-owned Wisconsin company. But they're always excited when we're there, and that I really do appreciate that a ton. I also appreciate what a great partner they've been from the very beginning of this show, and you should appreciate the great deals you always get at Steinhoffel's. The Buy More, Save More sale, they finally stopped extending that Labor Day sale. And so now it's time for the Buy More, Save More sale, which is going on right now at Steinhoffel's. You take an extra $100 off when you spend $1,999. Take an extra $200 off when you spend $2,999. Or get an extra $3,000 off when you spend $3,999 or more. Buy now and pay over 6 years with Steinhoffel's special 72-month financing. Plus, now through Sunday, you will get a $100 University Bookstore gift card, good both in-store and online, for Badgers gear when you spend over $2,999. And you can take an extra 10% off their already low-priced clearance furniture and mattresses. They're giving away a Tausch-signed football, all kinds of fun stuff going on at Steinhoffel's. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Time now for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week.
Don't sleep, you gotta stay up.
Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
It is time for the Sleepers of the Week. Tausch, I think Jesse, did you claim victory last week or did
I claimed victory last week with a Rudy Ford selection because the other two didn't do anything. Patrick Taylor.
I don't even remember who I picked last.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't that I won. It's that no one else did anything. So like, Rudy
so you
Ford
just proclaimed
played.
That you had won.
Yeah, he played.
All right. Well, we'll see how this week goes. Tausch, who you got?
It's getting to be tough because if I say Jaden Reed, you guys are saying, oh, you had two touchdowns last week. And it's fair criticism. I wish I knew for sure what Aaron Jones's status was going to be. That would help me determine who I really want to pick. Mm. But if he plays, I don't know if this kid's going to get the rep, so I can't do that. I think our tight end, guy everybody's excited about, had a couple of nice plays early, then kind of got stifled. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a big week for him. I think you're going to see the play action game. I'm going with my guy Musgrave. Musgrave is my Steinhoffer of the week.
That's why you're the best. Jesse, who are you taking?
I have a hard time picking against my guy Derek Carr. But he does throw
some
interceptions.
So you're taking Derek Carr as your Steinhoffel sleeper of the week?
He does throw some interceptions.
Been known to happen.
It's a thing he's been known to do. So who's going to get him?
Rudy Ford.
And who qualifies as a sleeper? How about Darnell Savage?
Yeah, that's fair.
Is he okay? Is that a good...
I think it's fair.
It's acceptable because he's had kind of a rough go sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Darnell Savage. Somebody's going to get Derek Carr. I don't know who it is. Let's go Savage.
So, what have we decided the Steinhoffel sleepers of the week are now? Like, we're picking, they've got such a young team that no one has an established level of, other than Aaron Jones. I mean, you could argue that Jordan Love, because he's the quarterback, he's ineligible. But, even Jordan Love, you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, he's been good the first 2 weeks, no doubt. But, I feel like we just, Lucas Van Ness as your sleeper of the season. This is a really hard
deal. There's only 53 dudes that you get to pick from. And you exempt a few, and then... Yeah, at some point, if Musgrave becomes the best tight end in the league, you can't do it. But right now, he's still available. I think Aaron Jones, Jordan Love. You can say Kenny Clark, but Kenny Clark's a stud.
You pick A.J. Dillon this week? He started. When I think of a sleeper, yeah. I think of someone who I'm like Ben Sims. If I'm picking a tight end, Ben Sims or Tucker Kraft who have done
nothing.
He'd
be fair. For sure.
Right?
For sure.
But we're in a new era, so you can basically pick anybody. Can I pick A.J. Dillon? Or do I have to pick Emmanuel Wilson?
I think you can pick A.J. Dillon because he had such a bad game last week.
All right. I'm taking A.J. Dillon to bounce back bigly in this game. So he's my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week for this week, even though it feels dirty. It just feels wrong. It doesn't feel like I should be.
If you win, it's dirty.
Yeah, I would agree. Hey, if I win, you guys can say that guy shouldn't be one. I agree. Totally agree. All right, that's it for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week.
I think where we've landed with some of this is, he can win, but he has to have a big, it's graded on a scale. A.J. Dillon, to win sleeper, you can't run for 65 yards in one score.
See, and my thought is, my thought is that it should be someone that's in kind of the 30 to 40, what do they have, 48 active on game day? Someone in the 30 to 48, somebody who really comes up big unexpectedly. The Dontavion Wickses of the world. And maybe there are plenty of weeks where no one wins because no one did anything. That's what I think of as a sleeper. But that's fine. Where we've landed is where we've landed. Those are our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. We need to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which, again, I love headlines. You know I love to be verbose. But we're getting to the point where I don't even want to play anymore. That's how good the Academy has been. And I feel like, given the tease we got earlier in the week, I should just forfeit. But headlines are scheduled during the 11 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss it. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.